Hey, Real Talkers. Well, that's one way to launch a leadership campaign. Ned Nenshi, guns blazing out of the gates, describing Premier Danielle Smith and her government as incompetent, immoral, and dangerous. Will NDP supporters see him as the best bet to beat Smith in the next election? In this episode, Charles Adler tells us why he thinks Nenshi's candidacy is the most fascinating political story in Canada. And then we talk to the former Calgary mayor himself.
This is a Relay Project. Real Talk starts right now. Here's Ryan Jesperson.
Incompetent, immoral, and dangerous. That's former Calgary Mayor Ned Nenshi, guns blazing out of the gates as he takes aim at Alberta's government, at Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith, announcing his candidacy, maybe the worst kept secret in Alberta politics, at least on the short list. Ned Nenshi wants to lead Alberta's NDP. He wants to lead Alberta's official opposition back to government status. Does he have the chops? Does he have what it takes? Is he the immediate front runner? Does he face an uphill climb as the only outsider, kind of, sort of, ish, with apologies to Gil McGowan, who kind of, sort of, announced his candidacy for leadership of the party? But today the focus is on Ned Nenshi, who will join us about halfway through today's episode. Before Nenshi joins us right here on Real Talk, it'll be Charles Adler, the Titan of Talk, who joins us the first episode of every week. He's called Ned Nenshi's candidacy the most fascinating political story in Canada. We'll find out why, because that's certainly saying something. That in just 30 seconds. But first, a call out to those of you who are considering a change of pace, a change of career. You're sick and tired. You're fed up. You've had it with what you're doing now. And you're hearing about it, all your friends and everybody that you know that works in real estate, is how much they're loving it. You're a winner. You're an innovator. You're a closer. You know you could succeed as well. You want a career with unlimited potential. You want to build a great business of your own. You know, it only takes about 200 hours, or let's call it 18 months of online learning, to prepare for the licensing exam. Real estate could be a perfect fit for you. And if that's the case, if you feel the same way, we want to direct you to relo.ca. That's relo.ca. This is where more Canadians, more Albertans, are getting licensed and passing that exam, ready to practice, than anywhere else. And here's the best part. With the promo code AAE, you're going to use the promo code REALTALK, all one word, REALTALK, at relo.ca. They're going to knock 20% off any Relo course. You want to do residential? Cool. You want to do commercial? Perfect. It all starts at relo.ca. Charles Adler joining us in about 30 seconds, but first, we want to get to this. This isn't Ned Nenshi's campaign video in its entirety, but it's probably the most powerful 20 seconds. It's at least the 20 seconds that's grabbing everybody's attention.
What we need now is smart, credible government. We need a government that respects us. We need a government that we can trust. And sadly, we don't have it. Danielle Smith and her government are not only incompetent, they're immoral and they're dangerous. The only things they know how to do are pick fights and waste money. And while they indulge themselves and their friends, life gets harder for all of us.
That's Ned Nenshi as we welcome Charles Adler to the show, Emmy Award-winning talk radio legend. He calls this the most fascinating political story in Canada. Good morning to you, Chuck. Why is it the most fascinating?
I have a feeling that Danielle Smith's people, and we know many of them, are filling their diaper right now.
Okay.
Because Ned Nenshi is a warrior. Ned Nenshi is not Mr. Feelgood, Mr. Nuance. Ned Nenshi will take the fight right to the lip of the premier, knows the premier better than just about any human being, knows how to get under her skin. And, well, we respect Danielle Smith for a lot of reasons, because you and I both know her. Many of those reasons aren't the reasons she does politics right now, and have nothing to do with her current politics. We just know the human being. She is a political athlete, and she has not yet met her match in Ned Nenshi. She will meet her match. For those people who believe that the NDP has to be more than the conscience of Parliament, or the conscience of an assembly, or an amalgamation of causes, or just a spokesperson for unions, for those who believe that the NDP has to be a competitive party, whether it's nationally or provincially, as they are in places like BC, as they are in my adopted home of Manitoba, if they want to believe that the NDP has the potential of going mainstream, they need an outsider. They need someone who isn't tied to the NDP, and they need a warrior. And I think it's Nahed Nenshi.
So you're not even, I mean, I haven't even asked you, how do you think Nenshi stacks up against the other, you know, the perceived front runner in this race, maybe, depending on who you talk to, Sarah Hoffman, Racky Pancholi, obviously a dynamic campaign, Kathleen Ganley, former justice minister, you know, all these candidates, Jody Callahoo Stonehouse came in here and wowed us. You're not talking about Nenshi as elevated above them. You're talking about Nenshi as more formidable. I was about to say better, but let me, more formidable of a political athlete than Rachel Notley.
I think she's a far more formidable athlete. You know how much respect I have for Rachel Notley, and I endorse the, you know, Rachel Notley totally out of character, just because I believe, as Nenshi does, that the United Conservative Party is not a conservative party at all. It's some kind of a populist thing. But it's not what most of us have grown up as conservatism. I am a small C conservative. That has never changed. And I don't think that'll ever change. I'm for fiscal responsibility. And I believe in small C conservatism because I believe that you have to be fiscally responsible in order to have the social safety net that is now most closely identified with what we call a Canada or Alberta. I think you have to be fiscally conservative. I don't think the NDP has ever been able to make the case in Alberta that it's fiscally conservative. And I think that's a leg iron. And I think that anybody who is associated only with the NDP, only with the Edmonton area, and only with the union movement is not going to have a chance against the UCP. It's pointless to say that the NDP had power for 10 minutes. That was simply a function of the Conservatives not having their act together. As long as the Conservatives are unified, they will be dominant regardless of whether it's Danielle Smith or anyone else. But if the NDP decides to rebrand itself and to become much more mainstream, to expand to people who are small C conservatives, to people who live in the suburbs of Calgary, and maybe some of the towns like the Lethbridges and, yes, even the Red Deers, if the NDP decides to become larger than it is right now in Alberta, as it has in places like Manitoba and British Columbia, then I think the NDP has a chance. But I think without someone like Nenshi, who will rebrand and reform the party around, yes, his own image, as much as that bothers some people on the left, if the NDP takes the risk and has the courage to bring in someone like Nenshi, who is not an NDPer, let's not kid ourselves, he is not an NDPer. He doesn't have NDP blood. He's not Mr. Orange. He is purple. He is, I think, the best of Conservatives and Liberals. I've always thought that Nenshi had a great chance, if he mastered French, to become a prime minister, a Liberal prime minister. Yes, I don't make no bones about it. I've been a fan of Nahed Nenshi for quite a while, and I think Nahed Nenshi is far superior to any of the current NDP crop.
This is, you're just like pumping his tires right now. Like, you're not even saying he would have a fruitful and effective career at the federal political level. You're not talking about he would be a shoe-in for cabinet in a Liberal government. You're talking about prime minister material, if only he spoke French. Like, what would, like, let's look back on his track record. Everybody, you know, there was like the hype, and I'm not taking anything away from him. He's smart as hell. Obviously, anybody that talks to him knows that. We're going to be talking to Nahed Nenshi in about 20 minutes now, talking to Charles Adler right now. If you're just tuning in on the Mixler live streaming audio app presented by California Closets, he won the World Mayor Award in 2014, for the most part for his response to those devastating floods, of course, that temporarily brought Calgary to its knees. He's been effective at the municipal level. He's made a lot of enemies as well. He had popularity problems at the end, didn't lose an election. Walked away, decided not to seek re-election. Would have been interesting to see how that would have gone. What over his track record has particularly impressed you so much?
I think what impresses me so much about Nahed Nenshi is the way he's able to take down opponents. Like I say, politics is not just about having nice causes and not just about making some people feel good. It is a war every single day. And I think that Nahed Nenshi is a warrior. And I think the NDP is soft. I think the NDP is wimpy. I thought the NDP campaign was really wimpy. In a moment where they actually had the good luck of having a leader who looked really, really weak. I can't imagine Nehed Nenshi losing the last political campaign. I think if Nehed Nenshi had been the leader of the NDP, he would have defeated Danielle Smith, and I think that's a very big deal. And I think any time in politics we get away from the concept that it's important to be a warrior and it's important to know how to go into battle and it's important to be great on the days that really matter. So whether it's a flood in Calgary or whether it's a general election, Ryan, I just we'll defer to you on this one. In all the years you did talk and all the years you're doing podcasting, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Isn't it true that the reason you make the bucks, the reason you have the status you have, is because on the days that really matter, whether it's 9/11 or a flood or a general election, you really come to play and you take no prisoners? That's what you get paid for. The airline pilot gets paid for not the all of the landings, which for the most part are autopiloted. And yes, they're supervised. Yes, obviously the pilot has to stay awake. But the reason the pilot makes the big bucks is because he's got the nerves of steel during those moments, those very few moments in any pilot's life where it really is life and death. And I think that the NDP has to take seriously the idea that it's a battle that has to be engaged every single day. And do you have any doubt that whether it's in the House or on the campaign trail, Nehed Nenshi will battle with Danielle Smith 24/7?
Oh, I mean, he's chomping at the bit. Obviously, he you know, attended the rally in Calgary this after Premier Smith's announcement about, you know, the pronouns and parental notification in schools and sex ed and trans women in sports. And everybody remembers what was described by one Real Talker, I wish I could remember their name, as an omnibus announcement, which I thought was accurate. Where was Nehed Nenshi that weekend? Which I think kind of confirmed to everybody, even the most casual political watcher, not to take anything away from his conviction and the support he's shown to the LGBTQ2S+ community in past. But when he showed up at that rally in Calgary and spoke directly into the camera at Premier Smith and talked about how, you know, saying shame and, you know, kids will die as a result. I mean, I think everybody knew at that point the pin was pulled on the grenade and he was going to go for it. And now everybody's just been waiting for, I guess, for him to get the green light from the committee that's taking a look at his eligibility. Obviously, they've deemed him to be a worthwhile candidate. Would have been a tough look. A lot of people were saying the party's got to say no to this. The party's got to bar him from running. I thought that's absolutely ridiculous. You can stick a fork in the party and consider it done in the court of public opinion if they were to do that. But it was obvious that he was going to seek the leadership. And now he's, I mean, no one, and we've seen great campaign launch videos. Like Racky's was beautifully done. I would love to know what that cost. And then Sarah Hoffman's was hilarious and grabs your attention right out of the gates. People can check our archives for our interviews with both of them, plus Ganley, plus Stonehouse. But Nenshi's the first one to come out and talk about incompetent, immoral, and dangerous. I mean, that's the howitzer blasting.
Because he's a professional. I mean, if we have time today, we'll talk about the Oscars. The Oscars are now back in the hands of the pros, and that's why the Oscar show on Sunday night was exponentially better than the last four or five absolutely forgettable Oscars. The point is, it's a professional deal running for politics and winning. And Nenshi is a pro. And so just like any pro, whether it's doing talk or doing oil and gas or doing airline piloting or doing the piloting for a professional political party, which is what the NDP has to become, a professional, competitive political organization, not just an amalgamation of causes and feel good. Nenshi, when it comes to the show, the big show, Nehed Nenshi shows up. That's what pros do. That's why pros win. That's why he never lost an election.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I want to hop into live chat here on YouTube. Love everybody joining us live. We sure appreciate it. Sean says, I absolutely love that Nenshi came out swinging, using very tough language. He says, bravo. Craig CC says, Chuck is making the assumption that Nenshi's as popular in Calgary as he was in 2010. He wore his welcome out, says Craig. I saw another comment up here as well. Somebody said the same thing. They said, oh, pardon me, it was... same guy. Craig says, I voted for Nenshi once. I won't be fooled again. His arrogant elitism isn't popular. Racky would be my vote for NDP leader. Craig sort of sees her as the people person, the more relatable candidate. We'll see. You know what I think is an interesting storyline here, Chuck, is whether the, you know, I mean, I'd be love to see the group chats and the private texts going back and forth. You have to assume that Ganley and Hoffman and Pancholi, probably Stonehouse as well, are communicating as caucus members. And I would be curious to know. I mean, some, they may laugh at this point. None of them would acknowledge or admit it at this point. But you have to wonder if a collective united front is the only way that an existing NDP MLA, an existing elected member of the legislature wins. If they all come together, combine forces, and let's say, hypothetically, Sarah Hoffman secures all of their endorsement. You think it would ever happen?
Well, I mean, it could happen. I mean, it's a preferential ballot. What this all depends on for Nenshi is thousands and thousands of people who ordinarily are not NDP voters necessarily, and certainly not NDP members, and maybe never thought of themselves as joining the NDP. This depends on a mass of people signing NDP cards, joining so they can vote for Nahed Nenshi. If he can't do that, he can't win this. That's what he's counting on, and that's why he closed with that in his all-important video.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if the party would release numbers. I mean, I doubt they would. Obviously, they're probably trying to stay as arm's length away from this as they can, optically. But I'd be curious to know, upon launch, as Nenshi announces his campaign yesterday, of course, we announced our interview with him as soon as he made it official. We officially announced it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hinting over the past few days. But I'd be curious to know what his 24, 48, 72-hour membership sales will look like. You'll get a big first wave. The question is, can he sell enough to meet and ultimately exceed the existing members that already have their horses picked? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it depends on. I mean, if anybody knows how to do fundraising, it's Nahed Nenshi. If anyone knows how to grab a headline, it's Nahed Nenshi. And if anyone knows how to grab the all-important notion that the people of Alberta who don't want Danielle Smith in there, for as far as the eye can see, for those people who don't want a Danielle Smith regime, those people have got to know that Nahed Nenshi stands a better chance than the current construct of the NDP. They have to know that they need more than just a conscience, a voice. They need a powerful warrior. And regardless of what Nahed Nenshi did to wear out his welcome with some people, nobody has any doubt, once again, when it comes to the big event, and we're into the big event right now, Nahed Nenshi is the guy that everybody is talking about. The reason everyone's talking about him isn't because he was mayor in Calgary for three terms. The reason everyone's talking about him is he knows how to frame the issue. He knows how to take it to his opponent. He knows how to make his opponent nervous. And for those people who want to believe that the NDP does have a chance to broaden its base and someday be a competitor and a real contender, those people who believe that have got to believe that Nahed Nenshi stands a better chance than the status quo. And if they really, really do care about having the UCP seriously competitive, about having the NDP actually having a good chance, not just a possibility, not just a slim chance, but a good chance of defeating the UCP, then they'll sign up and vote for Nahed Nenshi. If they don't, then everything we're saying is by the boards. If they don't sign up for him, it means that people are kind of okay with the status quo.
Yeah, when you're talking about a rebrand, like when you're, I mean, I'm going to ask him what a Nahed Nenshi-led NDP looks like, whether he even wants to call it that anymore. I mean, we'll see how big of a splash he wants to make. When you talk rebrand, are you talking like actual literal rebrand, or are you just talking a new person steering the ship, a new look, a couple of new policy tweaks, but still the Alberta NDP? I mean, how serious are you about that rebrand?
Well, I would do a complete rebrand. I would dump the orange.
Really?
Tonight. That's me. That's not Nahed Nenshi. I don't speak for him. I'm not part of his campaign at all. But I think the NDP is in desperate need of a rebrand. I think the NDP is still seen as a mouthpiece for the unions. I think the NDP is still seen as a party that is not governed by the leader, but governed by the unions. And God bless the unions, and we need the unions to do all the things that that unions do, but the average Albertan doesn't want the unions to be running Alberta. The average Albertan believes that strong individuals need to be in charge of their own lives. And that's why, as I've said a thousand times, this has nothing to do with the current regime of Danielle Smith. This has to do with ever since I was 18 years old and discovered Alberta. I have said to audiences everywhere in Canada and the United States that there is no place in North America that I know of where people who want to have a second chance and a third chance, there is no more open-minded place, no more open-minded place for a person to reinvent themselves and their families and their businesses and their careers than Alberta. It's a magical place of opportunity, and magical places of opportunity are not places that want to be governed by unions.
You sound like you're getting set to make a political run in Alberta, pal. Have you ruled that out? You come get a condo here, get a mailing address, dip your toe in the pool.
Look, you know, Alberta's always been my good luck charm, so I would never rule out, an opportunity down the road. Some people in Manitoba, which is my adopted home, where I've spent most of my adult life, they sometimes get a little twisted up in knots because of my feeling for Alberta, but it is what it is, and I've always done well with the people all over the country, including and especially Alberta, because I wear the feelings right on the sleeve.
Well, I know you feel
ideas right in the shop window.
You're like an honorary Albertan, and I feel authorized to bestow that upon you, because I think if I needed to petition the public, if I needed the signatures, I could get them, unlike some other petitions that are happening right now. I'm going to ask you about Manitoba in a quick second. First, I wanted to jump back in the chat. Semper Fi Danny says, at least with Nenshi and Pancholi, I don't feel like I have to pass some sort of purity test to support them, but they both hold the best NDP ideals on the issues that matter. I like both. That from Danny, which is an interesting one. And how about this? I mean, this is probably, this is going to be music to Nenshi's ear. Well, I don't know actually what prompted Cindy to buy a membership, but I can guess. Cindy says, good morning, everyone. I've been a Wild Rose and UCP voter. Yesterday, hell froze over, says Cindy, and I am now a member of the Alberta NDP. Cindy says, I am willing to bet there are a lot of us out there looking for a better option. That from a former Wild Rose voter. That's the real deal. That's a real chat comment right there.
But that's Alberta. Alberta is open-minded. As I've said a million times, I get so ticked off with this idea of Alberta being perceived by anybody in this country as narrow-minded. People do reinvent themselves there. And yes, Alberta is the kind of place where a person who voted for Wild Rose not that long ago would vote for NDP under the right circumstances. That shows you how open-minded people are, regardless of where they currently are on the spectrum.
Yeah. Jim says Brett Wilson's already texting his buddies, guaranteed, trying to figure out how to kneecap Nenshi. M8kin chimes in, says, rural voter here voting for Nenshi. We'll see. I mean, and for at fear of coming across like some sort of cheering section for head Nenshi, there's a bunch of people on here in the chat as well saying not a chance. He wore out his welcome in Calgary. So there is a good balance. We'll ask him about all this coming up in about 5 minutes. Chuck, hang tight. I want to ask you about Wab Kanu's polling. He's right at the top right now across the country compared to his colleagues. First, though, I want to remind you, Real Talkers, that these conversations, these shows happen because of partners of ours, like our friends at Eden Landscaping, who want to remind you now it's getting to that time of year. We're starting to dream about spring and then summer. First, it'll be the daffodils, then the tulips, and, well, then, we're full swing into it. If you're going, gosh, that'd be nice to have a flower bed, maybe some perennials, maybe some annuals, maybe have some sort of a sprinkler system set up or a creek running through the front yard. Maybe it's a backyard kitchen that floats your boat. If you want to make it happen this summer, now is the time to get in touch with Eden Landscaping. Get the planning conversation started. Get those 3D blueprints mapped up. Talk budget. And then the next thing you know, when the ground thaws, they've got shovels in it right away. You can find Eden Landscaping online at landscapeedmonton.ca. If your investment in your home is going to be inside and you're looking to get organized, you want to declutter for good, you owe it to yourself to request a free consultation at californiaclosets.ca. Whether it's a bedroom, a workspace, a living area, maybe it's a guest room / home office, heck, it could be a storage room or even your garage. California Closets team of designers, I guarantee, will blow your mind with possibilities. And they can work on budget as well. We've worked with them. It was about 10 years ago that Gary and I finally realized we needed professionals to help us out. We have Never regretted that investment for a second. It improved the value of our home and our experience living there. Our number one investment, because we visited californiaclosets.ca. And a shout out to those of you that are looking to take a next step. Better prepare yourself for a career. Maybe it's a post-secondary adventure you're looking to go on to get that journey started. But there may be perceived hurdles in the way. You don't live anywhere close to a university, or you got a full-time job, so you can't do the 9-to-5 classroom thing. Check out the AU Advantage at athabascau.ca. Athabasca University is Canada's open university, and they've got a ton of reasons for you to check them out, including the fact that more than 94% of their alumni say they're satisfied with the quality. More than 94% of their AU education. Learn more at athabascau.ca. Charles Adler joins us the first episode of every week, and the minute that I saw you posting about the Angus Reid Institute's polling on provincial premiers, I was looking forward to checking in with you because, of course, your home province, Manitoba, there's its premier, relatively newly minted, Wab Kanu, 63% approval right now. That's tops, 10% lead on second place, which is Scott Moe. You got David Eby, Danielle Smith, and the rest falling behind there. What do you make of Wab Kanu? Is it still honeymoon phase right now? Is that part of it?
So I think Wab Kanu is the real deal. I think one of his best mentors is Gary Doer, who for my money was one of the best retail politicians I've ever witnessed. There was a political warrior. There was a guy who knew how to take his opponents down. Here's the thing. Wab Kanu, put aside the fact that his coloration is NDP, that's his vehicle. Wab Kanu, just like Gary Doer, is a mainstream. Wab Kanu doesn't strike anyone as a socialist, as a dogma guy, strikes people as an open-minded person. And Wab Kanu likes to say that he believes that the economic horse pulls the social cart. And that is very much in line with what Nahed Nenshi believes, what I believe, what most mainstream Canadians believe, that you have to have a strong economy driven by, get this, the private sector in order to have the revenue that you need to have the social safety net that all of us expect, whether it's in Alberta, Manitoba, or the entire country. So Wab Kanu doesn't strike people as an ideologue, doesn't strike people as a cause person. He strikes people as a real person, and he's just a great communicator, and he's so much better at communicating than his most immediate predecessors on the PC side that, yeah, he's a breath of fresh air in friendly Manitoba.
Yeah, pretty interesting to see Blaine Higgs, New Brunswick premier, at the very bottom of the list, the least popular premier in Canada. Any insight there? I mean, he was the first to put that pronoun policy out there. Is that just coincidence? Yeah. The other two that have done it don't seem to be suffering from it. Moe and Smith, both like 2 and 3 or 2 and 4 nationally ranked. What do you think it is with Higgs?
I don't know enough about Higgs to really comment. Yeah. I can just tell you that, you know, people who ask me for my opinion over the years ask me to pay attention to certain things and certain videos and et cetera. And I don't see much political athleticism there. I just don't. There's no there for me, Blaine Higgs. I just think that, you know, regardless of anything I've said about Danielle Smith's politics, I think Danielle Smith is just significantly sharper than Higgs. And Scott Moe, I know Scott Moe has been taking a lot of heat in the last couple of years from a lot of people, but Scott Moe knows the crowd. Scott Moe knows how to read the room. And I don't see Blaine Higgs in the same category. I see both Moe and Smith as A players in the business, and I see Higgs as very much a B guy.
Huh. Yeah, fair enough. Before we let you go, we're going to be talking to Nahed Nenshi here. You referenced the Academy Awards like 5-10 minutes ago. You referenced the Oscars. But last time you and I talked about award shows, you sounded like you were sour on the whole premise of the entire tradition. Did you get swept up in it? Did you end up watching Kimmel?
Well, it once again, it's this business of trying to be open-minded. So, you know, when I saw you and Johnny completely enveloped in the business about the awards, I said to myself, okay, whatever, drop the drawbridge, you know, forget about this moat, engage, you okay. know, be open to it.
And what did you think?
It was that conversation. So, you know, the thing is there's two Ryans in my life, as you know, and I'm so candid about everything. You're not my only Ryan.
Oh, okay.
There's also this fellow named Gosling.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I think Gosling was absolutely the best performer in the world in that moment. Once again, when it was showtime, Ryan Gosling, God bless his Canadian heart, showed up. And I'm just Ken was just wonderful. But it wasn't just him, it was the choreography. But that's sort of the metaphor for the whole show. The whole show was so much more professional than it has been in recent years when I took the odd peek but was unimpressed. I was riveted to the entire show. I watched the whole thing, and even though Jimmy Kimmel kept making jokes about how it's too long, this was the first time in a very, very long time where I watched the Oscar where it didn't feel like it was way too long.
You haven't played like particularly nice with unions in your comments this morning, but Jimmy Kimmel offered them an olive branch. As a matter of fact, promised, said, we'll have your back with upcoming negotiations. They brought out all the grips and the I don't even know all the phrases. I wish I knew more about Hollywood and how it all worked, but brought them all out last night on stage. It was kind of applauded as a pretty significant moment. What did you make of that coming out of the strike? Took a nice big swipe at directors, I thought was pretty funny too.
I think that Jimmy Kimmel is really smart at knowing how to get the smoothest possible production. Both of us have done enough television and enough live television to know that the last thing you do on television is piss off the union. You're absolutely
yes.
dependent on those men and women. And so Jimmy Kimmel is a sharp entrepreneur. He'd be crazy not to blow kisses at the union.
Yeah, I love it. And we would be crazy not to blow a kiss your way, Chuck. We appreciate your availability every single week. Always great to connect with you. And I'm going to put some of your takes in front of Nenshi. We've got a comment here from WildRose76 that says Nenshi is fluent in French, so I'm going to ask about that and a couple other comments, including some people invoking the name of Jeremy Farkas. Farkas sent you and I an email, which I thought was interesting. He's kind of come forward. Well, I don't know if I say endorsing, but he's certainly supporting Nahed Nenshi, which is pretty interesting. They were at least perceived to be pretty significant political foes. So we'll ask him about that, too. We'll talk to you soon, Chuck.
Thank you.
You got it, brother. Charles Adler, you can find him on Twitter, of course. Very active there, at Charles Adler. Nahed Nenshi coming up in just a second. Is he the front runner automatically in this race? Does he have a tough uphill climb as the first real outsider? That's where we'll go, plus your comments as they pop up in the live chat or from emails submitted to talk@ryanjesperson.com. Don't forget, Premier Danielle Smith joining us live in studio March 13th, Wednesday's episode. That's tomorrow, if you're listening to this, the day we're doing it. And getting to the heart of these political discussions that matter to those of you in our home province of Alberta and, of course, those of you watching politics across the country. The conversations don't happen without the support of sponsors like Friesen Brothers. We're getting really, really excited for the opening of their 17th location in West Edmonton. Can't wait to tell you when opening day is going to be. It's coming up. In the meantime, I want to direct your attention to Friesen.com, in particular to the Family Essentials flyer, a great resource. Just go to the drop-down menu at Friesen.com for families looking to put healthy food on the table and not break the bank. Also, if you're going to be hosting Easter dinner this year, family, friends, maybe it's just you and your tight circle, customize your Easter dinner with the Friesen Brothers Easter Dinner Box. We've done it a number of years. It's a great way to treat family and friends. It's super affordable, and you customize it online. You can visit them in store as well. You can check out cateringbyfriesen.com/Easter Dinner to learn more. If you're a PEng, if you're a professional engineer and you're ready for a change of pace, you're at a firm right now that's not exactly doing what you'd love to do, you're looking for new opportunities, you want to maximize your potential, we're thrilled to let you know that Apex Automation is hiring right now. They're working in BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, heck, they're working down in Texas. You can learn more about what they're doing. In particular, the specialty is automation, of course, but the careers link is where I want to direct you today at apexautomation.ca. They're hiring extraordinary people. They believe that the corporate culture is number one when it comes to their priority. They put people over profits, and right now they're hiring a number of positions in Saskatoon, in Edmonton, and elsewhere. Engineers, take note. Visit the careers link at apexautomation.ca today. And before we get to Nahed Nenshi, a quick note. We have one sponsor, just one, that hopes you never call them. They hope you never have to visit their website. But if you are impacted by wildfire, some other sort of house fire, a fire at your business, a flood, a burst pipe, a nightmare, basically, keep Complete Care Restoration front of mind. We've worked with them in past. They've earned our trust and our two thumbs up. Professional property restoration, rebuilding peace of mind. You can learn more about them today at CompleteCareRestoration.ca. He is guns blazing out of the gates, calling Alberta's government and its premier in particular incompetent, immoral, and dangerous. Three times he won the election to serve as mayor of Calgary. Now he wants to be premier of Alberta. It's a pleasure to welcome to the program the newest to throw his hat in the ring for the leader of the Alberta NDP, Nahed Nenshi. Welcome to the show, and thanks for making time for us, Nahed.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Great to be here.
Was this a long time coming? Was this an opportunity that when Rachel Notley started hinting that she may have fought her last election, that this might be a good fit for you, or did you have to be convinced?
You know, actually, no. And I was listening to the show a little bit when I was shaving my face, getting ready to come down here. So I will correct an assumption that you made, Ryan, if that's okay. Nice
Please
way
do.
To start, eh?
Please do.
And also, I was listening to Charles Adler. He was being very generous. Say, peut-être que je peux continuer seulement en français aujourd'hui.
That's what we thought.
Just full Chuck.
There you go.
Just to freak him out a little bit, right?
Okay.
But... you know, you had mentioned something about how you saw that speech that I made at the trans rally as sort of, I think you said, pulling the pin out of the grenade. And I'm trying not to use wartime metaphors in this day and age, but, you know, that wasn't really it at all. Certainly, as an Albertan, I've been very concerned about the future of this province and about this government. And I used some pretty strong language yesterday, but I believe it in terms of describing this government. You know, I had... six premiers when I was mayor from three different political parties. I was able to work with all of them. They were certainly at different levels of quality, but I've never seen anything like this government. They don't seem in any way engaged in actual governing. They seem engaged in, as I said yesterday, picking fights and wasting money, and that's about it. And that's dangerous for Albertans. It puts people's very lives at risk. So I've been really thinking about how I can help in doing this work. And, you know, when it got really cold in January and I saw how they mismanaged that and you know, they used the opportunity not to tell people how to reduce their usage so that we didn't have brownouts. They used the opportunity to throw darts at Stephen Guilbeault, who, look, is a very pokeable guy and he always takes the bait. But, you know, at the moment of an emergency, you got to tell people, stop using electricity if you can so that we don't end up with blackouts when it's minus 50 in northern Alberta. And, you know, that's just a tiny example of how bad they are at their work. And the trans rally or the trans kids policy was just another example. And it's sort of a bit the opposite. You know, I went and made that speech because I thought it was important to do so. And at that point, a lot of the NDP supporters from across the province, a lot of people who've never voted NDP, were reaching out to me saying, you know, it's not enough to sit on the sidelines in this work. It's not enough at this pivotal moment in Alberta history to chirp at the government and see if you can help that way. You got to throw your hat in. And after, you know, a month of talking to people, of getting deep into this, I said, you know what? Just like in 2010, when enough people were talking to me about running for mayor, maybe this really is the opportunity to do that. And that's how we ended up here.
So if you had not necessarily, I don't want to put words in your mouth in either direction, but if you hadn't necessarily made the decision to seek the leadership of the Alberta NDP at the time that that trans rally occurred, was that part of what gave you the conviction to actually do it? Was that the tipping point, maybe?
I don't know if it was the tipping point. Certainly a lot of people had been reaching out to me, you know, probably since Christmas time when it became clear that Rachel Notley might step down, but certainly less so the rally itself, but more that policy and, you know, how Premier Smith defended that policy that, you know, she did polling and it seemed to be popular. And what that means is that she was polling on which vulnerable group she could go after that would actually gain her political credence. And to me, that's just disgusting. That is not how you act as the premier of the province. And by the way, I will point out as I'm looking at this video that One of the reasons that I was so fired up in that video, partially the organizers asked me to be fired up, but also it was really cold and I made the stupid mistake of unzipping my jacket so people could see my cool pride shirt. And if I wasn't fired up, I would have probably gotten hypothermia.
Well, you had to show the purple and you were wearing a black coat for the people that are listening on the podcast. Obviously, we all noticed that in your campaign launch video as well, you've got the purple pocket square, not the orange one. You're not even trying to pretend like you're blending in. Okay, I guess describe the pocket square for the podcast listeners today.
I'm wearing an orange pocket square today.
So there you go.
But
people
yes.
are saying, though, people are saying Nahed's not orange. He's purple. This is not, he's the outsider. Is that part of the secret sauce or is that immediately a huge challenge for you?
You know, it's a bit of both, right? And I hope that people will follow my journey on all of this. So let's back up. We're using a lot of coded language, and I know anyone who listens to Real Talk is a political junkie and they get it already.
Sure.
But just to back up a little bit, you know, when I launched in 2010, I launched with purple very much on purpose because purple is not a primary color, it's a secondary color. It's a combination of red and blue. And what I was really trying to get at was not just that we need to meet in what I call the muscular middle, but also that we ought not to define ourselves by our tribes, that we ought to define ourselves by our common humanity. And so it may seem to folks who followed me for a while that jumping into orange is a bit weird. Jumping into NDP orange is a bit weird for someone who talks like that. And honestly, that was a big stumbling point for me as well. But two things really stepped out for me. The first is that as I talk to New Democrats across the province, and also as I talk to people who have never voted New Democrat across the province, I realized they were all saying the same thing. There was enormous commonality in what people were saying. You know, we need to protect public services. We need to safeguard vulnerable people. We also need to grow our economy and build prosperity and support small business. We need to do so in a way that supports the energy sector and manages climate in a hugely proactive way where we can be world leaders. And we got to balance the budget. And I realized that these conversations were the same between NDP supporters and non-NDP supporters. And that really helped me understand that in Alberta, that orange color actually means something that's really close to Albertan values and values, frankly, that the UCP government no longer holds. So can we bring a little purple into the orange? And if you look at my campaign website at nenshi.ca, you'll see that we have combined a little purple and a little orange. But I think more importantly, that purple is an invitation to people to open the door to the Orange House, to take a look and see if there those values that the NDP represents in Alberta are their values as well.
We'll show people watching on YouTube your website, nenshi.ca. We'll link to it in the show notes. I do note the absence of the Alberta NDP logo anywhere. How married are you to the brand Alberta NDP? Do you think that maybe it's time for a full rebrand, name included?
Well, I'll answer the real question on the NDP logo, which is I don't think I'm allowed to use it as a candidate for the leadership of the party. But, you know, we certainly allude to it in my campaign logo as well. But maybe I'll let Real Talk listeners in on a little secret. I'm going to tell you something that once I say it, you can never unsee it. In my logo, there's a sun with the mountains behind it.
Yeah.
And a young person who was looking at that logo looked at it and said, is that a Playmobil character?
Oh, wow. It is the hair. No, it's the blonde hair.
I can't not see it.
The blonde hair of a Playmobil character. Are you married to the idea of Alberta NDP as the party you would lead into the next election?
Let's get to that question. You know, if you had asked me 10 years ago for the Alberta NDP to be a viable party, do they need to change their name? I'd say, yeah, they probably do. But I think what Rachel Notley and her team have built, and let's be clear, Rachel Notley is a unique politician in her skills and what she has been able to do to build this party into this formidable machine. What they've been able to do is create something new. And over next door in British Columbia, you see that the BC Liberals rebranded themselves as BC United. And here's a shocker to you and me, Ryan, and to anyone watching, listening to the show or watching the show. Most people don't follow politics that closely. Mm-hmm. They don't live and breathe it every day. And when in BC they changed their name, a lot of people just didn't realize that was the party they used to vote for under a new name. And they absolutely plummeted in the polls. And ultimately, that's a cosmetic change. However, there is a real issue here. And that is, I believe that the NDP, the Alberta NDP constitution, is really outdated. I think it is the constitution of a party that was not a huge political machine, that didn't think it could form government, that felt that it needed the support of its federal big brother to be able to move forward. And, you know, my personal point of view is that it's time to modernize the entire constitution, that defederation from the federal NDP has to be on the table. I personally favor that. I'm kind of clear-eyed about this. I don't have all the history, but I believe that the costs of associating yourself with a party that you don't control, whose policies and values may not be your policies and values, I think the costs of that vastly outweigh the benefits. But ultimately, this will be a choice of the membership. And so what I would promise to the membership is that if I were leader, you would have a open and transparent and fair process to rewrite and modernize the entire constitution, including that question of the federation with the NDP, with the federal NDP, that I would have an opinion on that matter, but that I would be open to persuasion. But for now, I don't think there's any value in changing the name. I think there is a value in modernizing the principles of the constitution and that relationship with the federal NDP.
You've got a few of the candidates in the race right now that may be relatively unfamiliar in Calgary, especially for those average folks that you're talking about. We used to call them Martha and Henry, Premier Klein did anyway, that don't pay too much attention to politics. The pro for them might be that they don't come with baggage down in Calgary. You, on the other hand, everybody knows who you are down there, but some people say, well, Nenshi's damaged goods. What do you say to them?
You know, I feel like the name recognition is real, but not just in Calgary. You know, someone that you were just talking about before the break was very generous to give me some advice on his political journey. And one of the things that he said to me was, listen, there's probably three people or four people in the province who could knock on any door in the province and they would know your name. And you're probably one of those. You know, Notley, Premier Smith, obviously, and maybe the Prime Minister. But that said, you know, that does come, as you say, with some baggage, but I'm proud of my baggage. I'm proud of what we accomplished here in Calgary. And I know people who are deeply into this will say, oh, over 11 years, the shine wore off, blah, 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 all that stuff. But if you believe in approval ratings, I left office after 11 years with a higher approval rating than Jason Kenney or Danielle Smith ever achieved. After 11 years, you know, that's something. And I'm happy to take my little rolly bag of baggage with me anywhere I go and compare it to Danielle Smith's giant elephant steamer trunk full of baggage and the horrific things she's done in her life and the horrific things she's done to Albertans, you know, every day, twice on Sundays.
Okay,
I'm really happy to talk about my record, and I'm happy to talk about what we were able to do in Calgary.
We've talked about your position that you took at the trans rally, so like, let's assume that we've touched on that. Aside from that, what else is in that steamer trunk? Like, if you're the leader of the official opposition today, what are you putting out in front of the public regarding the premier?
Well, you know, what you'll see from me is certainly I am looking to a more positive vision for Albertans on what we can create here. That's why the campaign tagline is for Alberta, for all of us. You know, that word for is very important to me because I feel like right now Alberta's entire political culture is defined by what you're against. And it's time for us to be for something. But at the same time, and I don't think there's a contradiction in this, I think it's important to call out Danielle Smith every single time. Every single time. You know, she is the most dishonest politician I've ever had to deal with. Frankly, she lies. And most politicians, believe it or not, don't lie. But she lies about who told her to do a renewals ban. She lies about how the timing on the Turkish Tylenol, you know, over and over and over again. And, you know, there, the UCP is using like heavy military language when they talk about me, which tells you all you need to know about them, that they're not interested in the values of Albertans or in building Alberta. They're just interested, as I said yesterday, in picking fights and wasting money. So I don't want to give away everything, but you know, what else is in that steamer trunk? $14,000 a bottle on Tylenol when the federal government had already ordered some just so you could own the libs. $100 million on the failed privatization of Dynalife. $9 million on advertising for the Alberta pension plan, something that in the election she said she would never do. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, yesterday I had a very busy day, so I haven't had a chance yet to look at what they're suggesting they're going to fix in the utility system, but what they broke in the utility system has caused utility bills to quadruple in Alberta, to be by far the highest in Canada. Our insurance rates, our auto insurance rates, are something like 2.5 times what they are in Saskatchewan next door. This is direct results of UCP government policy, setting aside the crisis in family doctors, the closure of emergency rooms, the fact that here in one of the wealthiest jurisdictions in the world, you can't be guaranteed that you'll get an ambulance when you call 911 when you're in need. This is sheer incompetence combined with the lack of any moral fiber. And, you know, I will call them on that every single day.
Why do you think the NDP lost the election in May?
Well, let's just say that they did great things. They went from almost nothing. Remember, they were decimated in 2019 outside of Edmonton. They had 3 seats in Calgary. They went from 3 to 14. So they did a lot of things right, but they didn't quite get over the hump. And now you're asking me to be a political commentator, and my volunteers always tell me, when you're the candidate, you can't put the political commentator hat on, but I can't help myself. So I will just say that that issue of for Alberta, you know, I think people weren't really sure what the NDP stood for. They knew that the NDP said that if Danielle Smith was elected, horrible things would happen, and you needed to vote NDP to avoid those horrible things from happening. As it turned out, those horrible things have happened. They were right about that. But I think you can't run an entire campaign based on that kind of fear. You have to certainly call them out. You certainly have to talk honestly about what the repercussions of another UCP government would be. But at the same time, you've got to give people something to vote for. And I think the NDP, in revealing their own platform, stumbled a little bit. You know, for example, we all know that when they revealed their fiscal framework that Todd Hirsch, one of the best economists in Alberta, had helped with, you know, all that anyone heard is we're going to increase corporate taxes.
Yep.
They didn't hear anything else about what that budget, what their NDP's budgeting would be. And I think that that was a bit of a miss in not really putting forth a platform that people could see themselves in.
I think the corporate tax thing is what cost them the election, if you want me to be honest.
You know, I don't think it was just one thing, but I think that was a big factor.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was just like you said, I mean, it was kind of this big takeaway. And it was like, Danielle Smith will cut your taxes and Rachel Notley will raise them. And people don't get into nuance, like you said. And by the way, Danielle Smith, we're aware, is not cutting people's taxes right now. And we'll ask her about it tomorrow.
And, you know, Danielle Smith has said we need to get off the resource roller coaster while putting us more on the resource roller coaster. But you know, and if Rachel had led with, we need to rely less on royalties, and here's our plan on how to rely less on royalties, and here's the benefits you would get from that. I'm not suggesting I would agree with that fiscal framework, but it is a matter of communicating to Albertans. I believe, as you know, and as anyone listening now knows, I believe in politics in full sentences. A journalist once said to me, full sentences are fine. Why are there so many of them? But that is based on, you know, Ryan, you've never been accused of being verbose.
Never.
But that is really based on my core political philosophy, and that is that people aren't stupid, that citizens should be dealt with respect, and you don't have to soundbite them and you don't have to manipulate them. You can tell them what you're really thinking. And I think that that is what you would always see from me going forward.
I want to ask you about your rural strategy. A lot of people seem to be assuming that Nenshi can win in the cities. He can't win in the country. What's your plan?
I'm really happy to talk about that. You know, if I have a criticism of the New Democrats from 2015 onward, is that they weren't visible in presence, I think, in all of the province. And remember, we say cities and rural, and it's more than that. There's Calgary, there's Edmonton, there's mid-sized cities, there's small towns. There are truly rural places in counties and municipal districts across the province. And, you know, the simple answer here is, when President Obama ran in his first election, he had famously the 50-state strategy. And even though people told him, look, there's places that you cannot win, he still said, we've got to be visible and we've got to try everywhere. And so I think that the Alberta NDP require an 87-constituency strategy. You have to be visible in every single riding. You look at a place like Red Deer, and don't forget that I also grew up just outside of Red Deer. I went to a county school where we had our own rodeo. I was not good enough to participate in the rodeo. But when you look at Red Deer, that has probably two of the worst MLAs in the legislature, and is a thoughtful, forward-thinking city that has a thoughtful, forward-thinking city council, you know, the NDP should be much more present in those places. But for me, the conversation I would have, you'd see me at every A&W and every Tim Hortons across the province, just talking to people and saying, you know what? this UCP government is not a conservative government in the mold of Ralph Klein or in the mold of Peter Lougheed. In fact, I don't think Premier Klein or Premier Lougheed would actually be comfortable in this version of the UCP. It ain't a conservative government the way we know a conservative government to be. It doesn't save money. It's not responsible. It doesn't look after the vulnerable. It doesn't invest in communities, which is what we're used to from PC governments here in Alberta. And when we go to the rural areas, we would say, look, your emergency rooms are closing on the weekends. You got to drive past two closed emergency rooms to get to an open one if you have an emergency. Family doctors are leaving in droves because the government is sending them away. Government can't even pave the roads properly. They've been promising broadband internet access for 25 years, and that's not there yet. So what has the UCP really done for you? And hopefully have a conversation with all Albertans and say, we actually can do better. We should set our sights higher. And that would be my plan. Just as, you know, I'm from Northeast Calgary. For those that don't know Calgary, you know, Northeast Calgary has a lot of baggage as well. But I'm one in every corner of Calgary, in the wealthier suburbs, in the differently diverse suburbs, in new areas, in the inner city, just by really going and talking to people. And I would take that same philosophy and apply that across all of Alberta.
Okay. I mean, fighting words again from you talking about Jason Stefan and Adrienne LaGrange, the health minister, the two elected representatives out of Red Deer. You're calling them two of the worst in the legislature, but I only have 1 minute left with you, so I want to note it. I'll ask you more about that later. I have to assume part of that has to do with the management of healthcare. But your video, there's four main themes through your video. And so a closing assignment here, give us a sentence or two on each of the four pillars on what Nenshi's plan will be. You open talking about small business and your family history there. A couple sentences on small business, on education, on health, and on climate. Would you agree those are the four pillars of the video?
Yeah, that was a very perceptive read of you. I would say them a little differently.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, number one is we've got to build a prosperous economy for everyone. And that certainly means the oil and gas sector has to be a part of that. Getting maximum value for our resources has to be a part of that. That's why I'm proud to have been part of the negotiations that brought the Trans Mountain Expansion Pipeline home. But it also means supporting small business and entrepreneurs. It means inviting investment into the province, not scaring it away as Danielle Smith has done. And, you know, my economic record in Calgary is very solid. I encourage people to look at that. But you also do that in conjunction with proactive climate work. We cannot be witnesses or bystanders as the world moves towards net zero. You know, Premier Smith always says she believes in net zero by 2050, but has actually said no to every single initiative that might get us to net zero by 2050. It's patently transparent what she's doing. She's trying to give lip service to the environment, but not actually make any tough choices and leave it for someone in the future to actually deal with that. But the world will pass us by. And we got the brains in Alberta to actually be leaders in climate and set an example for responsible energy development for the rest of the world to follow. Number three, strong public services. That includes healthcare and education. It means really focusing on, you know, everyone says focusing on the front line, but what I've done in Calgary is shown that you can do it through zero-based budgeting, priority-based thinking. You can actually really figure out ways to put more resources in the front lines. That's why in Calgary, we were able to grow our population by 40%. But keep our spending roughly level and have the lowest residential property taxes in the country. It's not magic. It actually can be done. And that's all about protecting and restoring and enhancing those public services while safeguarding the most vulnerable people in our community. And then I've alluded to it above, which is finally the fourth one is fiscal responsibility. You know, in the mold of Prairie New Democrats like Roy Romano or Gary Dewar, they balance their budgets. And we have to figure out ways to do that. We cannot continue to build up more and more debt that future generations will have to pay back with interest.
Has your team told you how many memberships they think you'll have to sell to win this thing?
Yeah, I heard you allude to this before the break. I will tell you, yes, we want to sell a lot of memberships, but we absolutely want to convince people whose home is in the NDP that they can find a home in me too. And we've had tremendous support from existing members, four MLAs already endorsing us, two of them acting as my co-chairs. By the way, those include probably the most economic business focused MLAs and the most left-wing MLAs. You know, Rod Loyola in Edmonton has been, I don't even know him very well, but he's come out as a strong early supporter, as is Samir Kayande in Calgary. Cord Ellingson and Parmeet Singh Beaupre are my campaign co-chairs, along with Cam Westhead, former MLA of Banff Kananaskis and a registered nurse. So we're appealing to people within the party. We're inviting more people in the party in. And my volunteers tell me I'm not allowed to share any numbers, but I heard you ask about the early day surge. And I'll tell you this much. I had a really optimistic number in mind, thinking, I hope we can do this. I'm this many signups yesterday. Mm-hmm. And when I went to bed last night, very, very late, we were at 10 times my most optimistic
10
number.
10 times?
10 times.
Okay. There you go. I've got a million more questions for you. So does our live chat.
We'll have lots of time to
talk. I suspect we'll talk again. Nahed Nenshi, I want to thank you for your availability today, and good luck through the race.
Thanks so much, Ryan. And merci, Chuck.
Yeah, there you go. Flexing the French. So there he's got it. Yeah, I mean, gosh, obviously left a lot of questions on the table. Appreciate the engagement in the live chat. Some of you wondering what seat he would seek. You know, he wins the leadership, then he's got to get into the legislature. Remember that? Danielle Smith did the same thing. Remember everybody was saying she should run in Calgary or she should run in High River, right around where she calls home. Instead, she ran in Brooks Medicine Hat. You remember that? So obviously he'd have to find his way into the legislature. You know, sometimes when you're doing interviews and time is precious, you know, you don't ask the questions that you're not going to get an answer to, unless not getting an answer is the point of asking the question. You know what I'm saying? So he's not going to tell us right now how he would get into the legislature. But there was a good question that hit the cutting room floor. With apologies, we'll ask him again maybe a little bit later on in the race as we continue to speak to the candidates. And that was, if he loses the leadership race, will he run as an MLA next election? No candidate seeking the leadership of any party would ever start talking about what they're going to do if they lose, because that's not a winner's attitude. You know, you don't ask the captain of the team that's heading into game seven in this. I do sports metaphors, forgive me. Game seven, Stanley Cup final. Ask the captain of the team before the game, what are you guys going to do if you lose? You'd lose your press credentials. You'd never be allowed back in the locker room. It just doesn't happen. You know, ask any business leader, ask any leader in life. What are you going to do if you fail? They're not thinking about failing. He's thinking about winning. I'm sure someone will write in to say that's posturing what he did at the end, saying that he had an ambitious goal to sell memberships, and then they exceeded that by 1,000%. We'll see. Adler opening strong today, talking about Danielle Smith and the UCP, quote, filling their diaper when they see Nahed Nenshi enter the race. I'd be curious to see the reaction behind the scenes. We'll never know the reaction from the other leadership candidates in this race. You know, you talk to some of them, and obviously we have informed and candid conversations a lot of times off the record with people very close to the individuals that are on these shows, the individuals that are making news, and they'd never admit it, you know, seeing Nahed Nenshi as the immediate front runner, as the one who's completely reshaped the landscape of this leadership race. But some of them will tell you that that's not how they see it at all, that they still believe that the favorites before he declared remain the favorites, or the favorite now. You can let us know what you think to talk at ryanjesperson.com. Obviously, Nahed gave us lots to work with for our interview tomorrow with Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, who will be joining me. Of course, we will be replaying some of his comments and getting her to respond. I put it out on Twitter yesterday. If you follow me at Ryan Jesperson, you can follow our show at Real Talk RJ as well, saying if you have a question for Alberta's Premier, send us an email. Holy. I appreciate that we have the audience that we do, and you took us up on the offer, and so we're going to have to sift through it. I sort of feel like almost every question I ask her tomorrow will be in the form of a question from a Real Talker, or at least somebody that follows us on social media, so we appreciate that. Lots of subject matter to work with. That's Premier Danielle Smith joining us on Wednesday, March 13th. In the Real Talk studio. I can also let you know, coming up on Friday, that's March 15th, our Real Talk Roundtable, complete change of pace for those of you that have had enough politics talk for a while, those of you that could use a little break. Our friends at Edifier out with their best restaurants issue, and we're going to talk to three of those, the restaurateurs, the brilliant creators, the chefs that are featured in the pages of Edify. So that's coming up on Friday. That's on our March 15th episode. Before then, and this is a tradition of ours, the first episode every week, courtesy of our friends at Kubi Renewable Energy, we get a chance to take a look at something that just absolutely fills our bucket, something that's like restored our faith in humanity, helped us forget about all the stuff that's weighing us down. It's a tradition we call Positive Reflections. And it's, again, presented by our friends at Kubi, a chance to eschew, to say no to the negativity and to harness that positive energy. And sometimes it comes in the form of a submission from a real talker, like this one from Steven. We absolutely love this. Johnny, do we have the video ready to rock? This is absolutely hilarious. And I got to be honest, Steven sent us an Instagram link. I don't know who originally posted this. For those of you listening on the podcast, just imagine there's a black bear in somebody's backyard, their phone, their rolling video, and the bear takes it to the next level. This is absolutely hilarious. Have a listen to this. So he's walking on the fence.
No, look. This bear walked over my coffee. It's about to jump down. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. Bye.
Speak to it?
No, I didn't speak to it. It's a black bear. They're bad bears. They can be mean. It just knocked my jacuzzi top over.
Oh. No, I saw it drag it. When I got up, I sat here all of a sudden. I heard.
And now it just got in my jacuzzi. Okay.
No, it did not.
Yes, it's getting warm. It's just having a blast.
Yeah, we love it, Steven. Thank you so much for passing this video along. We love it.
I'm glad I wasn't.
The black bear that took a load off and helped himself to a soak in the jacuzzi. I love the lady of the back. Did you speak to it? No, I didn't speak to it. It's a black bear. You can send us the video, the story, the poem, the photo that made your day. Email it to talk@ryanjesperson.com. Make sure you put positive reflections in the subject line. It's presented every week by our good friends at Kubi Renewable Energy. You can get your free solar quote today by visiting kubienergy.ca. As mentioned, next episode of Real Talk, it's one-on-one with Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. Thanks in advance for joining us, and make it a great day.
Real Talk is hosted by Ryan Jesperson. Executive producer, Josh Dunford. Technical producer, John Hicks. General manager, Katie Cook-Chivers. Account coordinator, Lauren Sterlego. Human resources, Lena Shepherd. Website design, Mike Johnston. Voiceover by me, Carrie Skelton. Real Talk's editorial board is Supriya Duvetti, Ahmed Ali, Brandy Morin, Anne Castleman, Corey Hogan, Harmon Candola, Catherine O'Neill, and Chris Henderson. Member Emerita, Julie Rohr. Real Talk is recorded in Edmonton, Alberta, on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional and ancestral territory of the Cree, Dene, Blackfoot, Soto, and Nakota Sioux, home to the Métis settlements and the Métis Nation of Alberta. Real Talk is a Relay project. For more, check out ryanjesperson.com.